After 33 years, Roe v. Wade continues to dominate headlines, this time as senators consider Judge Samuel Alito's nomination to the Supreme Court. What many people aren't talking about when it comes to abortion is black women. Abortion rates among blacks are 3 times higher than they are for whites. I recently sat down with 2 women who have devoted their lives to opposite sides of this issue. Day Gardner is National Director of Black Americans for Life, and Jatrice Martell Gator is President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Metropolitan Washington, D.C. A warning before we begin, our interview contains a graphic description of an abortion that some listeners may find disturbing. I started by asking Ms. Martell Gator if she worried that Judge Alito's confirmation may lead to the eventual abolishment of a woman's choice.
Most definitely. At Planned Parenthood of Metropolitan Washington, we're on the front lines of this. We're 4 blocks from the White House, and we see in front of our lawns and in the state houses in Annapolis and Richmond, in the halls of Congress and the Supreme Court, that access to reproductive rights is being chipped away by a lot of protests and arguments and false information.
Day Gardner, let me ask you as relates to that. You are pro-life, but are you concerned at all that we could in fact see the abolishment of abortion?
Of course, that's what I hope for, and that's what I pray for. I think when it comes to Alito, nobody really knows exactly where he stands, and for that matter, all we can do is just wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Gardner, one of the questions in terms of the abolishment of abortion is that it would disproportionately affect women of color in terms of we know historically that African Americans had a higher rate of what was called back alley abortions. How do you reconcile that fact with the abolishment of abortion?
Well, the risk of death from abortion was greatly reduced in the 1940s and 50s before abortion was ever legalized by the development of antibiotics and modern surgical procedures. The thing is that since 1973, there have been more than 350 deaths due to abortion. And I honestly believe that if and hopefully when abortion is abolished, that will not increase the deaths of women, and it will definitely save millions of children.
Ms. Martell Gator, what's your thought?
First of all, at Planned Parenthood, 90% of our work is basic health care, where poor women, uninsured women, women of color would not have any other way to get a pap smear, a breast exam, diabetes tested. I think that one of the reasons why there is abortion in the black community is because so much education and prevention needs to be done. We start our programs at Planned Parenthood with abstinence. We do not believe that young teenagers should be having sex. However, we believe that without giving them good information about their own bodies and sexuality, that they will be ignorant and ignorance kills.
Let me follow up on that, if you will, and ask you this. In terms of abortion, to a great degree still, it is painted as an option for middle-class white women. Are you concerned that black women lose their voice in all of this?
It is an issue for white middle-class women who have traditionally been at the forefront of this because there have been so other many issues in the black community, such as education, economic justice, civil rights, equality, that African-American women have pretty much ceded the leadership on this issue to white women. However, as the statistics show, it is important that African-American women get involved in this because of the health disparities that need to be closed and the fact that we want our babies to come here healthy so that young women who are pregnant can get tested early and they can get prenatal care throughout their pregnancy if they choose to bring the pregnancy to term. However, if they choose not to, they know that they can have adoption, they can have a medical abortion, or they can have a surgical abortion. Our position is that the decision should be made between the woman and her God and her family. It is not the right of these 15-year-old little boys to come out in front of our clinic to protest on Roe v. Wade weekend to make that decision.
Yeah. Ms. Gardner, pick up, if you will, on by extension, taking that a bit deeper, if you will. Many people see it fundamentally as a woman's issue. Yet when you look at the Supreme Court structure, it is still an issue that is being decided by men fundamentally.
I'm so glad there are so many issues that Mrs. Gator touched on that I'd like to address. First of all, she actually made the statement that it's between a woman and her God. The thing is that it is not necessary to be religious to see that society as a whole has something at stake when one human being feels it's okay to take the life of another human being. The other thing is that I honestly believe in that abstinence is the greatest thing also. And if we are going to be honest and if we want to be forthright and forthcoming and be and get the information out to our kids, let's start with what an abortion is. Let's start with the fact that babies are scraped arms limb from limb, decapitated, scraped from the womb. Let's talk about a partial birth abortion where a needle is jabbed into the base of a living baby's skull at where the brains are sucked out in order that the skull can be crushed so that the dead baby then can be fully delivered. So the thing is, I think if we're going to be honest, if we're going to talk to young women who are in the abortion clinics and in the abortion industry to get an abortion, let's tell them the truth. Let's tell them exactly what's happening to their beautiful babies. And these are, in fact, babies. I think science also agrees with us, along with the Bible, that from the time there's the fertilization, two cells become one to create a new life.
Ms. Martell Gator, how do we move past this issue, and that is the age-old issue of when life starts? It seems, can we ever really have cogent discussion and hope to move past this if there is no real agreement?
First of all, 98% of all abortions take place in the first trimester. There is no conclusion, either theologically or scientifically, as to when life begins. These kinds of false impressions and graphic images hurt young people who need to come into Planned Parenthoods and organizations to get tested for AIDS, chlamydia, gonorrhea. They need to understand that they should not, young men should not coerce women for sex, and that young women should understand they need to have enough self-esteem to delay sex until they are financially and emotionally ready. But I think there can be a common ground between me and Ms. Gardner, because if her group hates abortion, well, then work with us to prevent it. Prevent it through education. Through access to good birth control, to access to emergency contraception, to make sure that the spread of AIDS and chlamydia, which is so high. For instance, in Washington, D.C., our AIDS statistic is one of the top 10 in the world, including higher than some African countries. People are dying because of ignorance, and we would love to work with those people who are anti-choice, who don't believe in abortion, so that we can all reduce the amount of abortions in the Black community and raise healthy, well-loved, spaced, and planned children.
Ms. Garner, you want to follow up on that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that in an abortion, what is typically in conflict are not the lives of the mother and child, but the mother's assertion of her rights to an education, to a career, to an independent lifestyle against the basic right to life of the child. Now, to continue to demand abortion then is not really to assert one's such rights, but to assert the right to avoid even the minimal responsibility to that child, and to deny the reality and the life of unborn children in order to achieve one's personal goals.
Ms. Garner, let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, as if I may interrupt you for a moment, and that's the idea of actually taking the choice away from women. There are African-Americans who feel that this is all part and parcel of the continued struggle for freedom of choice for Black Americans in particular, but people in general. What's your response to the idea of just taking the idea of choice away from females?
Well, you know what? We believe in freedom. But absolute freedom to do whatever one wishes without limits does not and cannot exist. If people are free to choose to harm or kill one another for any reason whatsoever, all of us live in fear and not freedom.
Ms. Martell Gator, please follow up on that, if you will, the idea of you don't have a free choice of any whim that you choose.
In order for African-American women and families and communities to reach the kind of education and financial parity that we need in this country so that our young men and boys aren't incarcerated, so that we don't have 500,000 children in foster care, so that our dropout rate is not 40% and 50% in urban areas, we need to allow women the choice of when and whether to have a child so that they can bring into this world a healthy, well-loved, and intended pregnancy.
Jatrice Martel Gator is president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Metropolitan Washington, D.C., and Dae Gardner is national director of Black Americans for Life. I thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.